In this week's parsha, we have a very interesting topic. In this parsha, we have the story of the Shviras Haluchas. Okay, I'm going to try to do two topics. I have two topics, two short topics. We'll try to do them both the best that we can. Okay, Rabbi Sai. First topic. In this week's parsha, we learn about the Shviras Haluchas. Last week, we read the Luchas. We actually read the Luchas, the Aser Sadibros, the Luchas Shnios, and all of, it's a version two. In this week's parsha, we read about the Shviras Haluchas. The Moshe Rabbeinu, he tells the whole story. The Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemaim, and then Hashem said to him that Klal Yisrael, they sinned. I'm already forgetting if Mamu did say this. So one thing is for sure, in this week's parsha, after the Shviras Haluchas, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, after I forgive you, Psal Kiramachol, Ramachol. Psal lucha shnei luchos avonim kori shonim. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, chisel for yourself two new tablets and come upstairs. Bring them up here to me and I will write upon them the Aseres Hadibros. Moshe goes up to Shemaim with the luchos. He makes a box, an oroin, and Hashem etches into the luchos, the lucha shnios. Moshe comes down and he puts the luchos in a box. Okay, that's the story. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, please. There is a minug. It's minug, you don't see it too much anymore in the new shuls. It's becoming a dying minug. But it used to be for generations, there was a minug that on top of the Aron HaKodesh, you would see luchos. Okay, on the Paroiches, classic luchos. Around the luchos, there were two lions. We're not going to talk about the lions. The lions we spoke about many times, the lions. But let's just talk about the luchos. There used to be a sacred minhag in Klal Yisrael that on the top of the Aron HaKodesh, and in fact on the Paroiches itself, there was an image of the luchos habris, the Aseres HaDibros. Everyone knows, it says they have it in short, lo yilcha, like the first words, lo yilcha, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Lo Yilcha Zochar Lo Sisa Kabed Kabed. No, one word. They were just after the Rosh Prakim of the Luchos of the Aseres Hadibros on the Luchos. Today, I don't know why. I have no idea why. For some reason, today you don't see this too much anymore. Today, you go into the store to buy a Pareches. You know how much they cost? The Pareches cost a fortune. Buy a mantle for a Sefer Torah. Does anyone today buy a new mantle with luchos? I don't even know if you can even get them anymore. Someone asked me to help them to refurbish a Sefer Torah, and we got new atzichayim and a new mantle. I went to get the mantle, and it was like, and I looked into the catalog, and we were considering getting like an old mantle, like from the 80s, and the person in the store says, even though it's in the catalog, it's not available anymore. They don't do this anymore. They don't have the plates. They don't want to bother taking out of the basement, the old equipment and the old design to do. Ain't today everything is a whole. It's a whole new world today. The designs today they do leather and they fur and azay and all these new mishigasim today. It's a whole new world. You're not going to find today in a store. It's a big business. It's very expensive. That they're going to put on the Aron HaKodesh, the luchos. What happened? For generations, we put on the top of the Aron HaKodesh luchos on the mantle of a Sefer Torah on the Pareches. So, what taka would be a reason why we should not do it? Well, let's say, what are the pros and cons? Well, the pros are in the Beis Hamikdash every single day. The Kohanim, when they did the Avodah, they had to daven Shacharis. And they had a special Siddur. Certainly, if it was the Beis HaMikdash today, Art School would be very quick to make for them a Siddur, a special Nusach. And it was a shorter version of davening, but before they would say Kriya Shema, they read the Parsha of the Aseres HaDibros. That was part...
Probably a separate
city for them as well.
Let me. The shir, the shir, the shir, the shir, the shir. Some old siddur happens in the after
in the back. They have all the Sturm have the Aser Sederbus. After davening is after davening. Yeah. After that, every Siddur Kamat. At least the Arshkol Siddur. After davening, they have Aser Sederbus. They have a lot of things in the back. But it's part of the actual Nusach of Tefillah. We don't do this. But in the Beis HaMikdash, they did this every single day in the Beis HaMikdash when they daven. Let me actually read you what it says. It says in the Gemara Masechta Brachos, Taf Yud Aleph Abeis, the Skan HaKoyhanim would say to the Koyhanim, La'achar she'boruchu brocha achas, mi'birchois kriyashma, they would say the brach of Yoitzer or Uvari Choshech, Oiseh Shalom Uvareyas HaKol, and they would go all the way until Baruch Atah Hashem Yoitzer, all the way to the avenue with the Kadosh, 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 and they would go further, and they would say Lokel, and then they would include Baruch Atah Hashem Yoitzer, HaMe'oirais. Before they would say Ahava Rabbah, the Skan would say, Omar Lohem, Skan HaKoyhanim, La'achar she'boruchu brocha achas, mi'birchos kriyashma, she'yoimru aseres hadibros. That's what they did. It was part of the Nusach HaTfilah. Why? So Mefarshim explain, the old quote of Sad Yagoyin, in the aseres hadibros, is merumas all of the Taryag mitzvahs. It's hard for us to appreciate this, but the Aseres HaDibros are the klolim. In each of these, if you were to take all of the Tayag Mitzvos, you can find every one of the Tayag Mitzvos is rooted in one of the Aseres HaDibros. So it's a synopsis. It's the short version. So the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash, they would recite the Aseres HaDibros as a short version of reviewing all of the Tayag Mitzvos. Now, so the question is, why, Taco, don't we do this? Why? And it seems that they used to do this in the whole area of Yisrael as well, in every single shul. The Chachamim were mevatel, the recital of the Aseres HaDibros, because of the Amaratzim that would say that the only thing you need to be Mekayim is the Aseres HaDibros. That is the only thing that Hashem spoke to the Jewish people, and all of the other Tayag Mitzvahs are not required. You don't need to wear tefillin, you don't need to put on a mezuzah, you don't need to give tshuva semaitros, you don't need to give tzedakah. It doesn't say it in the Aseres HaDibros. The only thing that Hashem came down in Har Sinai and told the Jewish people was Avodah Zarah, Shabbos, Kibbutz Avoim, Le'sirtzach, Le'tinof, Le'tignof, Le'tinof, Le'sachmoid. That's it. You don't need to be so frum, so religious. Because of the Amei Ho'aratzim that began to say that you don't need to Mekayim Kolat HaRekulu, they decided that it's not a good idea to mislead the people and they should recite every single day the Nusach HaTfilah, the Aseres HaDibros. It's misleading, do not say it, and just say Ahava Rabbah, Shema, and Davin the Shemona Esrei. They will mevatel choshu she'ovdei avodah zarah yishkinu'u es ami aretz. They were afraid that the Goyim, they would entrap and they would influence the Amei Ho'aratzos, the foolish people, the vulnerable people who are not knowledgeable, not learned, that you don't have to be Mekayim, call it Arukula, only learn the Aseres HaDibros. And they would say, look at your Nusach HaTfilah, when you pray, you only say the Aseres HaDibros. That's why they canceled it. Now, go a step further. When you're laying the Aseres HaDibros on Shabbos, twice a year, three times a year, do we stand for the Aseres HaDibros? So we do stand, but the Rambam very clearly says that you're not allowed to stand for the Aseres HaDibros because Ta'arumas Haminim, it's the same idea as what it says here in the Gemara of the Ami Haratzim and the Ami Haratzim and the Oivdei Kechavim that would entrap the Ami Haratzim, the Ta'arumas Haminim, people would say that this is the only thing that is important, nothing else is important. Therefore, the Rambam said that a person should not stand for the Aseres HaDibros. You're not allowed to give it more chashivos than every other part of the Torah. Now, therefore, many make this argument, by extension, you should not put the Aseres HaDibros on top of the Aroin HaKodesh and on the Paroiches of the Aroin and on the mantle of the Sefer Torah for the same reason. The same reason why Chazal were mevatel, the recital of the Aseres HaDibros in Shachris, and we nikar hadin, we should not stand for the Aseres HaDibros, don't highlight the Aseres HaDibros on the Aroin. It's misleading, and it's going to lead people to think that that's the Yikar. This has been the major argument against having it on the Aroin. However, in the Shul of the Ramah, the Aseres HaDibrois were prominently displayed. And in fact, in hundreds, if not thousands, of Batei Kinesios throughout Klal Yisrael, throughout the ages, the Aseres HaDibrois were displayed. In fact, I found here Bashkocha Pratis, he quotes Rav Dvorkis, my own great-grandfather, my father's father's father, Rav Aaron Levine, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, B'Sev HaBirchas Aaron, Al Masech Debrachos, Maimer Pei Beis, Kosav, he quotes my grandfather, Acharei Asher Rubo Derubo, Shel Batei Kinesios, Ubatei Midrashos, Nivnu, Tachas, Hashkochas, Gidoyle Yisrael, Midoyroi Shelifonenu. The vast majority of the Batei Kinesios were built under the authority, under the guidance of the great rabbis of the previous generations. Asher Hoyodarkam, it was their way, Lehis Chakois, to investigate Al Kol Pirat Uprat Miseder Habinyan. They didn't just let an architect build a shul. When they built the shul, the rabbi had to approve of the blueprints. And if the vast majority of the shuls in our history throughout Klal Yisrael have upon the Aron HaKodesh an image of the Aseres HaDibrois, the Luchos, and have it on the Aron HaKodesh and on the Pareches, umidiloi hikpidu al zeh, mashma, she'ein bezeh shum cheshash. So I'm quoting over here my own great-grandfather, who says, the fact that this is Hanach Lohem Li Yisrael, in Einam Nevim B'nei Nevim, there's no way that the Gedolei Yisrael would approve of something that is Shaloika Halacha, that it's staring right at them in the face. They daven in the shuls, and in their shul, on the Peruches, every Peruches had the Luchos, every Aron HaKodesh had the Luchos, and they allowed this, and they didn't make a macha, and in fact, when they built the shuls, it was done with their approval. Obviously, there is nothing wrong with highlighting the Luchos on top of the Aron HaKodesh, and it is not a contradiction to the Halacha, that although that the Koyharim of the Beis HaMikdash, when they daven, they did say the Aseres HaDibrois, but yet, in the rest of Klal Yisrael, the Chazal did not allow the Hamoin Am to recite as part of the Nusach HaTfilah of Shachris, the Aseres HaDibrois, and did not allow people, at least in the early days, to stand. Today, don't ask Akasha, today why we do it is a different story, but they did not allow people to stand. People that would sit for Kriyas HaTorah did not stand special for the Aseres HaDibrois, because it's misleading. It is misleading. So the same thing, it should be misleading. Obviously, they held that there's a very big difference between standing for davening and that saying the words inside versus what is having it as a decoration, as a reminder on top of the Aron HaKodesh. Now, he explains here further the reason why, Adrabba, you should put the Aseres HaDibrois. There is a reason why you should put the Aseres HaDibrois on top of the Aron, is similar to the Aron in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was an Aron. What was in the Aron? The Luchos, the Shivri Luchos, and what else? A Sefer Torah. And there was a Machlekes, the Sefer Torah, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. Moshe Rabbeinu, he wrote 13 Sefer Torah. 13. He gave 12 of them to each one of the Shvatim, and the 13th Sefer Torah he gave to Shevet Levi. And their Sefer Torah was stored in the Kodesh HaKodashim, in either Machlokes in the Gemara, either inside the Aron itself or on a ledge that protruded from the Aron. So they go together. You see, in the Kodesh HaKodashim, they are the Luchos, and the Luchos are stored together with a Sefer Torah Shekosav Moshe. So it's the same thing in the Beis HaKnesses. What's inside the Aron HaKodesh? What's inside? The Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah has a partner. Who's the partner in the Beis? What was the partner of the Sefer Torah? The Luchos. So what we do in the Beis HaKnesses, we drape the Paroiches, the Paroiches of the Aron has the image of the Luchos. And it drapes the Sefer Torah. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash and the Kodesh HaKodashim, the two of them go together. And why do the two of them go together? To demonstrate that the Aseres HaDibrois is just a summary, or is the root, like Rav Sadia Gaon says, of all of the Taryag Mitzvahs. Ribbono Shel Olam came down Har Sinai and he spoke the Aseres HaDibrois. He gave us a teaser. however you want to go learn. It's a teaser, it is a summary, it is a teaser of Kol HaTorah Kula, and you cannot have one without the other. The two of them were stored together. Memela, when you have a Sefer Torah, you should wrap it with a mantle which has on the mantle the symbol, the image of the Luchas. An Aron HaKodesh, what's in the Aron HaKodesh? Sifrei Torah, you should have on the outside, on the Parechet, and on top, the Luchas, because that's how it was in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Aron HaKodesh. In the Aron were the Luchas, the Shivri Luchas, and the Sefer Torah, Shekasa of Moshe Rabbeinu, inside Banish, and if not inside, on the ledge, they go together. So, just because the Chazal said that you should not say it in the Nusach HaTfilah, okay, so Hayaluchot v'Hayaluchot. To go recite it is going to lead the Ami Haaretz to think that's all you have to do. Okay, so don't daven, don't say it. Only in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not going to make that mistake. Okay, when it comes to laning, don't stand for it, especially if you sit for the whole laning, don't stand for it. But still, you have to acknowledge the two go together and it has to be positioned, and that's the proper way that it should be, and history is on our side. Why Taka today has it fallen away? That is a very big mystery. It is a very, very big mystery. We pride ourselves, Orthodox Jews, as holding on to tradition. We hold on very strongly to tradition. So what happened today? What happened today that today we can't have the luchas? Today we have exotic. I mean, it's magnificent. You go, you see some of the things they make today. You want to go see in some of their certain some stores that's what they sell. The beauty is spectacular, and it comes with quite a price tag. But for some reason, cannot nothing of all of the new designs available today. Yeah, I'm Baruch.
You have to do an investigation to see which the shuls that keep the Sarah.
Okay, even in the yeshivas, do you see the yeshivas having the I don't know. I don't know. That's another topic.
It was a connected type of a image that came together. So they didn't just take down the lions. They took down.
I hear what you're saying. I think in Knesset Chizkiyo, in Haifa, in Eretz Yisrael, in that yeshiva, so they have the luchos without the lions.
That's unique.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. You say that the lions also is tradition. Okay, we spoke a lot of time about the lions. That's another topic. So you're saying that because the lions, is, you'll say, is more of a chiddush than the luchos. So because people associate the luchos with the lions, maybe you can find a reason why it might not be the best thing to have the lions. So because of the lions, they took away the luchos also. I mean, that's a little bit of an extreme thing. That's a bit of an extreme thing. That's because the luchos is not a problem. The lions, they go together.
But you have the chumrah is someone probably objected to it. One's opinion was to object to it, and everyone said maybe.
Tradition. In the Aron HaKodesh, in the Beis HaMikdash, we said two of them go together. All right, whatever it is. Now, here comes the next part. This is very fascinating, at least to me. Are the luchos, the old-fashioned luchos that you see in the old pictures, it's round on the top and square on the bottom? Okay, why? So everyone's going to tell me, Michelangelo, painter. Famous.
That's one word.
Michelangelo. He was a painter. He painted. I don't know all the details. I should have spent more time researching this. It seems that he was commissioned to paint a portrait or an image, whatever it is, of Moshe Rabbeinu coming down from Har Sinai with the luchos, and his painting shows the luchos with a round top.
Rembrandt?
Rembrandt. Not Michelangelo. Okay, I'm sorry. Rembrandt. I'm sorry, made a mistake. Okay, I'm ignorant.
No, it's not Rembrandt.
Whatever it is, there's a famous, we have five other, whatever it is, okay? Whatever it is, there is a famous, famous painter which had enormous influence over the entire world. His works were accepted over the entire world, and he painted an image of what in his mind he imagined the scene of Moshe Rabbeinu descending from Har Sinai, holding in his hands the Luchos, and in that classic painting, the Luchos are round on top and are square on the bottom. We should Google it and find the picture and see exactly what he painted. And for some people, this is what they'll tell you. This is what they're going to tell you in yeshiva. They're going to tell you throughout the entire world that, you know, things happen in this world. That image, it's stuck in our minds. It's stuck in their minds, and somehow, before you turn around, every single Aron HaKodesh, every single Paroiches has Luchos. Look, it's no different than the chapter breaks in Chumash. Who introduced the chapter breaks in Chumash, the Parakim? The Christians. Rabbi Chol, we do in Chumash in the afternoon. We spend some time on this. When we come to a chapter break, we try to show the kefira. Every single perek, chapter break in Chamisha Chumash Torah and in Tanakh is mole. Yes, many times. It's very easy sometimes. Very easy. Is apikorsis. It's a statement of apikorsis. And it's usually very easy to see. All of a sudden, Pasuk Beis is a new chapter break. I mean, what all is going on? And that stuck. I actually read yesterday that the Chofetz Chaim, in all of his prolific, the Chofetz Chaim and the Chasam Sofer, and the Chofetz Chaim were the prolific, not even once, not even once in anything that the Chofetz Chaim and the Chasam Sofer ever wrote, did they make use of the Christian, the chapter, the parakim that we have printed in our article Chumashim. Not even once. The Chofetz Chaim refused to refer to a pasuk by Perek Zayin, Pasuk Gimel, Perek Hei, Pasuk Yud. Refused. Not even once. And if you will see, they reprinted the Chofetz Chaim's works a million times already. That was added by the modern printers who wanted to make it easy for you so they may have put in and say for Chofetz the parsha. He said in this parsha, go find it. Parshas Chukas, Parshas Balak, Parshas Shemos, Parshas Vo'era. Never, ever, not even once did the Chofetz Chaim say Perek something in his own handwriting. Rashi, well, Rashi, I think it was before Rashi. The chapter breaks probably came after Rashi. I assume, maybe not. I don't know. I shouldn't say it because I don't know. Rashi will talk about the parsha. The question is, did the chapter breaks already exist in the lifetime of Rashi? I do not know. But never, Chofetz Chaim, it's goyish. It's apikorsis. Apikorsis, mamish apikorsis. That little apikorsis, major league apikorsis. Every single Chumash in the world today has the apikorsis inside of it. It's for real. The only thing we always talk about is the only thing that was spared is Tehillim. It is the only book of the Chof Dal at Sifrei Tanakh that the Christians couldn't tamper with. Because David HaMelech, they divided the Mizmorim. Right, 150 Mizmorim are pure.
They're
self-contained. There's no other book in the Chof Dal Sifrei Tanakh that has not been tampered with and infected with the real apikorsis through the chapter breaks. Chofetz Chaim stayed far away, and so did the Chasam Sofer. So what do we see from that fact, that's a reality, that the Goyim, they somehow made their way, they made their way into our...
Although they referred to them as chapters.
Okay, whatever it is. So just like they succeeded, and that's not going anywhere, it's too little too late, so too, it's not so far-fetched that the image of the Luchos on top of the Aron is also the way they decided it should be. They decided it should be round on top and square on the bottom. A mishigas. That's how it should be. And infiltrated. Who knows? Okay, Mishagas. It's not far-fetched. It's very possible that's the emes. However, not everyone is so happy with that.
Chumash doesn't describe it at all?
No. The Gemara describes it. Only in the Bavli, not in the Yerushalmi. In the Bavli, it makes Mor Bava Basra goes very, very great detail what exactly were the dimensions of the Luchas. And the Gemara says they were rectangular. They were rectangular, and it shows exactly the dimensions, exactly how it fit into the Oroin HaKodesh in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara, from the Gemara, it's clear as day, unless you really want to fadre the Gemara, somehow it's clear as day that the Luchos were rectangular. Okay, so that's how I always thought. That's how I, until I learned this, that's how I thought. Okay, so we have the Luchos. No, so on the Aron it's round. I saw where I daven, they still have the Rabbi Shmidman Shul. They have, it's not round, it's a triangle on top. It's not round, it's a triangle. Whatever, that's how the designer made it. On the Paroiches, he has a, it's a pointy on top, a fine, whatever it is. No, okay, big deal. Now, there's a lot to be said about this. First of all, there's a collection of Achronim that say it's very, very hard to believe ad kidei kach that a non-Jewish painter, his work would have so much influence that it penetrated every Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash throughout the world in Klal Yisrael. If that's what happened, maybe, but it's not so simple that we should accept that to be a fact. And let me tell you some of the ideas that they throw out. Number one, there's a halacha. Look at the menorah over here. You have a menorah. How many branches does this menorah have? Six. Why isn't there seven? Why isn't there seven? Why don't we have seven branches? Because if we want to have a dogma of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash had seven branches. And the answer is, there's a pasuk. The pasuk says, I don't know the pasuk bal peh, you're not allowed to build a table, you're not allowed to build a menorah, you're not allowed to build anything for your private use that has the same dimensions or dogma of what was in the Beis HaMikdash. It's an Isur D'oraisa. You're not allowed to make a replica of the Mizbeach, a replica of the Shulchan, a replica of the Menorah, and therefore you're not allowed to have a candelabra that has seven branches. Only in the Beis HaMikdash was there a Menorah with seven branches, and that is it. That's why Chanukah has eight. It's by design. Chanukah has eight because you're not allowed to have a menorah that has seven branches. Not a shulchan, not a mizbeach, not anything. If you want to build it, you want to make a replica, you want to make a model of the Beis HaMikdash, it cannot be an exact scale model. It has to be off because only in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mefarshim explain as an extension of that concept, you're not allowed to make the dogma of the Luchos the way they were in the Mishkan and the Mikdash. So in other words, it is forbidden to put on the Aroin rectangular Luchos that have the dogma of the Luchos of the Beis HaMikdash. Just like you're not allowed to have a menorah that has seven branches, if you were to put on top of the Aron HaKodesh or on the Paroiches or on the mantle, the image of the Luchos that are rectangular and a similar scale to the dimensions of the Luchos where they are presented in the Gemara Bava Basra, that is a violation, at least not necessarily an all-out violation, but it goes against the spirit of the law of Uvimaskuntam. That's talking about, that's not the correct pasuk, Loisasu Kamohu, you're not allowed to make a replica of the Luchos. And therefore, we want the Luchos, because the Luchos is what is the partner to the Sefer Torah, but because there's a prohibition, so the same we have a menorah here in this particular room that has only six and not seven. In every shul, whatever they have six, they have two, they have three. Chveis, everyone does whatever they want to go do, and so to the Luchos have to be different, and the way we make them different is by having them rounded on top and not perfectly rectangular.
Different size
also. So saying, you're right, technically speaking, it's not going to be the same, like a menorah also, it's not the same size as the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. It's still, if something has the tzura, it already borders upon a prohibition. You don't want to do something which you're coming to know, to impress upon a person, oh, it's the same scale. So you make it different, noticeably different, by rounding the top of the luchos. That is a very popular mahalich. Is it because of a non-Jewish painter? Maybe. No one really knows. Really? Is there another? You have maybe something else up your sleeve to explain why it's like that? So here's one. Maybe the painter, he saw a shul, and in the shul it was round. Why was it round? He copied what he saw in the shul. Well, why was it round in the shul? Because of the sensitivity of not to copy the way it was exactly in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now come to another fascinating answer. No, why Lo Tigra, Lo Tosif? Why? No. No, that's only in a mitzvah. Lo Tosif is only doing in the performance of a mitzvah. A mitzvah. This is a dogma. It's not a mitzvah. There's no commandment. It's just a decoration. Okay, next answer. This is very fascinating. Bavli versus Yerushalmi. In the Bavli, the Gemara says that it's very, very common for there to be a disagreement between the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi. In the Talmud Bavli, it's pretty clear that it was rectangular tablets. In the Yerushalmi says something else about the Luchos. It says the Luchos were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. In Parashas Kisisa, it says V'haluchos Ma'asei Elokim Heima. Is that where it says it? V'haluchos Ma'asei Elokim. Now, if you would not know otherwise, you would say that the luchos weren't created. It wasn't something that was made Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. Whatever it was, whatever it means. Moshe went to Shemayim, and in Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented him with the luchos, and the pasuk says V'haluchos Ma'asei Elokim Heima. Fine, but the Yerushalmi says no. The luchos, it's mashma, was a dover gashmi. Whatever it means. It was fashioned erev Shabbos bein hashmoshos as part of the conclusion of Maase Bereshis. The luchos of the luchos rishonos was a chelik of the bria, and it was nigmar bein hashmoshos. So he writes over here, he's quoting over here some holy tzfarim I never heard of before, that we have a rule, the Gemara says, Ein miruba b'ma'asei bereshis. Once the Yerushalmi opens up this awesome chiddush, it's a chiddush nifla, that the luchos was nivra, it was part of the b'ria, it's not chutz l'b'ria, the tablets, the words, this is ruchnius, but the tablets is a chelik of the Bria. Hashem made the world in 7 days. On day seven, at the very, very end, on 6 days, at the very end of day six, at Bein HaShemoshes, quickly Hashem finished up some loose ends. But it was a Bria. It was Nivra. Oh, it's a Nivra. It's part of my Sibirachus. Then it gets all of the rules of my Sibirachus. Anything that's part of my Sibirachus is subject to the Constitution. And what does it say in the Constitution of Hashem's world? Ein miruba b'ma'asei Bereshis.
Those were the original tablets, but they were broken.
We're getting there, excellent, we're getting there. You're copying the whole share. Ein miruba b'ma'asei Bereshis. You're coming too often, you're coming too smart here. Soon you're going to be giving the share. Ein miruba b'ma'asei Bereshis. There is nothing that Hashem made that is square. Every single element of nature is round. Is it perfectly round? I don't think so. Is there anything in this world that is perfectly round? I think they say not. Everything is elliptical. But there is certainly nothing in nature, nothing. Chazal say this. You can't argue with them. There is nothing in nature that is perfectly square. No such thing. Everything in nature is round. It's not perfectly round.
There's no such thing. The measurement is perfect.
Why not? Why can't there be perfect measurement? We don't have to get into Malachi Asharis. The best that we can see. To the naked eye.
The act of measurement takes something
space. Say it again?
The act of measurement.
Yeah.
The
act of measuring itself changes the shape, ruins it. Okay, well, there's a Chazal say, Ein Miruba. Yeah?
By Afshila Thompson.
Right, that's the whole sugi. Efshul samshim machloikis, efshul lit samshim, efshul lit samshim, but leninu to lemalachi asharis. Put that aside. Chazal make a very powerful statement. Anything that Hashem created is not square. Ein miruba b'maasei bereishis. Yerushalmi. It doesn't say this in the Bavli. The Bavli says the luchos were square. The Yerushalmi says something that the luchos was. It says in the pasuk the haluchos maasei lekim ema. What does it mean maasei lekim ema? I don't know what it means. But the Yerushalmi says it was already created at the time of creation. It was a dover gashmi. And it was nivra erev Shabbos ben hashmashos. Oh, really? You're telling me that it was a bria, it was a dover gashmi, it was a physical thing that Hashem created, maaseh elokim ema, erev Shabbos ben hashmashos. It's now subject to the rules and regulations, the codes. It's subject to rules and regulations. Ein minu b'maaseh b'reishis. That means the luchos could not possibly have been square, rectangular. Impossible. So what about the box? No, the box was square. So you can put something round in a box. So does that mean to imply that there's a machloikis, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi? And according to the Yerushalmi, Einochinami, the luchos were not, I don't know what they looked, doesn't look like the painting, doesn't necessarily mean they were rectangular, but maybe they were round. Maybe they were some funny shape, whatever it was. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it can't be that they were rectangular. Is that a possibility? That is machlekes. The Bavli or the Yerushalmi? The Bavli says they were square. The Bavli doesn't differentiate between the luchos, Yerushalmi, luchos, shniz. It just says the luchos. It tells you about the luchos. Pashim Shas, they're the same thing. Moshe made kori shonim. Moshe was told to make a second set of tablets, kori shonim.
Maybe the basic elements, the material, was prepared on Erev Shabbos, and it was only shape.
The shape?
For example,
I don't know.
You
okay.
See that by the other things created.
The Choymer.
The donkey didn't actually speak.
Hashem chiseled them down?
He created that would be able
I don't know.
To speak enough.
Chore, Hashem made
another
the Luchos.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin also. That tefillin have to be proposed by the whole
Okay, you say, okay. All right, wait, but they have different parashios. Hashem is still in the apostle for us. They have different parashios, Hashem. The Morris says what the parashios are. In any event.
But tefillin are perfectly.
All right, okay. One thing I thought. So therefore, some want to argue is that the Lefi the Yerushalmi, there's a very real possibility the Luchos Taka were not square. They were, I don't know what shape they were, but they were not perfectly square. So then, if it's not square, it's round, so then it's not necessarily, so what are you putting on the Aron? Ask the person, what are you putting? Does it say on the Aron, Shamar Es Yom HaShabbos? They put like one word, the first word. What does it say on the Aron? Zohar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadoshai or Shamar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadoshai? Last I've seen in every shul that has the Aseres HaDibros, it says Zohar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadoshai, and Zohar is the Luchos Rishonos. And according to the Yerushalmi says, you know, every shul will one day be brought to Eretz Yisrael. It will be brought to Talmud Yerushalmi. You don't want to go bring, you know, if your luchos, if you're putting the luchos on top of your Aron HaKodesh and your luchos are rectangular, so Yerushalayim will not accept it. Because in the Talmud Yerushalmi, it's mashed and the luchos were not square. So you want your shul to be brought to Eretz Yisrael, you better make sure that the luchos that you have on your Aron HaKodesh are not square, like the Talmud Yerushalmi, Ein Meruba B'Maaseh Bereishis, it will be accepted. That's one mahalich. Now let's add to that mahalich. Others want to say, what's the kasha? Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. The luchos rishonos was Maaseh Elokim Hema. Who says the Bavli and the Yerushalmi disagree? When the Bavli tells you that makes the dimensions, that's luchos shenios, pisol lecha. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you chisel out. When a human being chisels things, it's very hard to chisel something in a circle, to make it round. You need special technology to do that. Moshe Rabbeinu was acting all alone. Moshe Rabbeinu, he chiseled out square tablets. Who's not to say that there's no disagreement? The Machloikes, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, according to the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi is discussing the Luchos Rishonos, and the Bavli is discussing the Luchos Shenios. And what we have on top of the Aron HaKodesh, where it is rectangular below and round on top, is a combination, is a remez for both. It is the synthesis of the Luchos Rishonos and the Luchos Shniyos. The round element on top represents the Luchos Rishonos, and the square part on the bottom captures the essence of the Luchos Shniyos. And the two of them come together on top of the Aron to remind us about both the Luchos, the Milos, the advantages of the Luchos Rishonos, those happy days, plus the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven us for our Averos and allowed us to go on and given us the Luchos Shniyos Psol Lecha. So some want to make this argument and say, Nechanami, the Luchos have both, Hakpada, round on top, square on the bottom. The round on top represents the Yushalmi, the Luchos Rishonos, and the squareness on the bottom is the Luchos Shniyos of the Talmud Bavli, Elu ve'elu Elokim Chayim. So these are the different approaches to, let's review everything we said over here. The argument that we should have the Luchos is because in the Aron HaKodesh, in the Beis HaMikdash, they go together. The Aseres HaDibros is a synopsis of Taryag Mitzvahs. How many letters are there in the Aseres HaDibros? 620 letters. There are 620 letters in the Aseres HaDibros. Which one? The first or the second? Probably the second.
The first?
620. There are Taryag 613 mitzvahs. Why are there seven more letters? There are different reasons. Some say it corresponds to the seven nations of Canaan. And the Torah was given to us to observe the Taryag mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael primarily. Some say the seven extra letters as a remez for the Zion mitzvahs, Derabanan. There are seven rabbinic mitzvahs. What are the seven rabbinic mitzvahs? Nikra Megillah, Ner Chanukah,
Thanksgiving.
I can't hear what?
Thanksgiving.
No, not Thanksgiving. Okay, Mikra Megillah, Chanukah, how can I ask? Erevin, very good, Erevin, Netilas Yodayim. Okay, what else? I used to know this quickly. Okay, whatever. There are seven mitzvahs de Rabbanan. The Zion mitzvah Rabbanan. Some will say the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. That the goyim also have a chelek in morality. In b'makir, the ribbono shel olam, the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noyach. Three different opinions of the extra seven letters. So they go together. And they go together, that's why it belongs there. And in fact, in the Beis HaMikdash, when they daven, the Kohanim, they recited every single day in Birchus Kriya Shema, the Aseres HaDibros. What is the argument that we should not have the Aseres HaDibros on the Aron? Is because of the Tarumos Haminim. People are going to say that the only thing that you need to observe is the Aseres HaDibros. You do not need to observe anything else. And that's the proof to that is, that's why we do not say it in davening every single day. And that is why that if you sit for Kriya Satorah, you should be sitting for Mikra Adin, for the Aseres HaDibros as well. Traditionally, this was always put on the Aron HaKodesh, Hanach Lachem LeYisrael, Im Einam Nevi'im B'nei Nevi'im. Why did it disappear today? Big, big mystery. Why did it disappear today? Why is the Lucha, should they be round or they should be perfectly square? The Gemara Bava Basra says they were rectangular. And therefore some argue that that's how they should be, that they should be presented. And in fact, there are many people today that have on the Poroiches. I mean, there are many where they have the Luchos as rectangular tablets, but that's certainly not the more common. The more common was that it should be round, and some will tell you it's because of a painting, which misled the Jewish people, and that's not necessarily so far-fetched to say such a thing. And others will tell you some very fascinating reasons. That probably the best answer is you're not allowed to make a replica of anything that was in the Beis HaMikdash, including the Luchos. You can't have a seven-branch candelabra. You cannot have a replica. It's halacha. It's not permitted. It has to be significantly different. That probably is the best answer. And if you want to be a mystic, a makubal, you want to get into the real interesting stuff, you can say that Samachleik is the Bavli and the Yushalmi. The Bavli Yushalmi says it was never b'masa bereshis, ain't meru b'masa bereshis, memel if it's masa bereshis, it can't be square. So that means the luchos rishonis were round, top to bottom. Oh, what about the luchos shniyos? Psal luchom. It was an act of man. An act of man, anything that man makes is square. So why do we have it square on the bottom, round on top? It is a combination of the luchos rishonis and the luchos shniyos. All right, once we're discussing the luchos, let's talk about the lions for a few moments. And then we're prepared to talk about this. Why then are there lions? And in fact, lions are very traditional. In fact, they have ancient synagogues from almost 1,000 years ago where there are lions. So the lions are not, I've been around for a long time, the lions. So why talk of the lion? So there are reasons. The reason that I like the best is because who built every Beis HaMikdash is what? Is the Mikdash Ma'at. Who built the first shul, the first Mishkan? Who built it? Two people. Who were the architects of the first, who were the builders? It was Bezalel and Eliyav ben Achi Samach. From which Shevet did Bezalel come from? Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur Lamatei Yehuda. Who was Eliyav? Eliyav was his assistant. Eliyav ben Achi Samach Lamatei Don. Rashi and Chumash. Why specifically Yehuda and Don? Yehuda is the greatest of the Shvatim. Don was the Pechusim. Any English word you use is not nice. But it was from the less distinguished of the 12 Shvatim. And it was by design. There should be a representative. You know, we talk about America, Lahavdil Elif Alfei Havdalos, diversity, equality. Okay? The Torah was way ahead of that, but the Torah did it in the right way. Is the Torah demanded there should be a person from the most elite of the Shvatim, Yehuda, Bezalel, and an equal participant in the construction of the Mishkan should be Eliyav ben Achi Samach Lamatei Don, in order to teach the Jewish, no one should say they have a chazaka, they have kedima in the shul. The shul is open for everyone, just like the Mishkan. Just like the Mishkan was built for everyone, from the greatest to the least distinguished. That's the message is everyone has an equal chelek in the Mishkan. Now, in the brachos of Moshe Rabbeinu, who is called the lion? Ule Don Amar, Don Gur Aryeh. Don is called the lion by Moshe Rabbeinu. In the brachos of Yaakov Avinu, what does it say about Yehuda? Yehuda, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Yaakov Avinu called Yehuda a lion. Moshe called Don a lion. So you look at the lions on top of the Aron HaKodesh, one lion is Bezalel, Lamata Yehuda, and the other lion is Eliyav ben Achisamach Lamate Don. Moshe called Don a lion. They built it. This home has been built. Everyone is equal here. When you come to the Beis HaKnesses, it doesn't matter if you're a Gevir, you paid for the building, or you're not a member. You haven't paid. You come into a Beis HaKnesses, just like Rashi and Chumash says, the Mishkan was built by Yehuda and Don to make a statement. To make a statement. No one's a meyuchas here. Everyone over here has equality. Everyone over here shares in the Beis HaMikdash. Every shul we make that statement. We put two lions. We put two lions on top. And what do we put the two lions? So now the question, why the two lions surrounding the luchos? So according to what I'm telling you, you don't have to have the two lions on the luchos. Just have the two lions. Well, you should know in many shuls, the two lions are just sitting there. Not every shul are the two lions surrounding the luchos. Still a lion in the corner, resting. another lion on the other side. Is there such a mesora that the lions go together with the luchos? I don't know. Now, where else were there lions? There was a whole zoo on the Kisei of Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, Shlomo HaMelech's throne, the Kisei Shel Shlomo, also had a lion. And in fact, Paro Necho, why was he called Paro Necho? Nechei Raglayim. One of the pharaohs. One of the pharaohs, it was the beauty of the world. The whole world was jealous of Shlomo HaMelech. He made for himself a mechanical throne with all this mystical things. This is in the Hagdama to the Medrash of Megillas Esther. It describes in great detail all of the details of the Kisei Shel Shlomai. And it was built with a lot of technology, it seems. A lot of technology that has been lost from this world. We think we know driverless cars and spacecraft and drones. It's nothing relative to the chokhma of that went in to build the Kisei Shel Shlomo HaMelech. And one of the mysteries about the Kisei Shel Shlomo, there were lions on the very, very top of the Kisei. And if you were an imposter, you were not the Zera of David HaMelech, and you tried to go up the steps or you tried to sit down, the lion would detect your DNA that you're an imposter, and it would bite you, or it would harm you. And in fact, Paro, one of the pharaohs, conquered the throne of David, of Shlomo, and he tried to sit down on the throne, and he became paralyzed. He became a nechei raglayim, paraplegic. He lost power in his spinal column, in his legs. He was no longer able to walk. The Kisei Shel Shlomo is mechuvan, Chazal say, of the Kisei HaKavod. So this is a whole different mahalach. Is the reason why there are lions on top of the Aron HaKodesh is Da lifnei mi ato emet. You come to the Beis HaKnesses, there's the Torah. It's the Mokoyim HaShroas HaShchina. The Mokoyim HaShroas HaShchina, the whole shul is the Hadoim Raglov. It is the Kisei HaKavod. It's mechuvan k'neged the Kisei HaKavod. And the only dogma of the Kisei HaKavod that we have in this world is the dogma of the Kisei of Shloimei HaMelech. HaMelech Shehasholoim Sheloi. The Kisei of David, of Shlomo, was a dogma of the Kisei HaKavod. And on the Kisei HaKavod are the top, upper echelon, the very, very top, were lions. When you come to the Beis HaKnesses, Da lifnei mi ato oimed. This is the makom of the Hashroas HaShchina, Hashem's resting place. And as a polite reminder, there are lions. Just like on Hashem's Kisei, whatever that means, there are lions. It's a reminder, behave yourself here. You're in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Da lifnei, is that together with the Luchos? Not necessarily. Both of these things, for some reason, have gone far away. Maybe you'll argue the reason why we don't put the luchos anymore, we don't put the lines, because today we don't really have shuls anymore. Maybe you can say the reason why in today's generation we've done away with the lions and we've done away with the luchos is because we're afraid. Today, the way we live, a shul is basically a social setting, which is very good. Don't get me wrong. It used to be you socialize out in the street. You go to the corner, you get a beer, you socialize outside. A shul is sacred. It's sanctuary. You come into the sanctuary. It's the Kodesh HaKodashim. You don't fool around in shul. Who would dare, Rav Baruch always tells me, would a person today bring in a New York Times into the shul? It's not nice. Bringing in a smartphone is no different. It's even worse. You have all of the left-wing newspapers on your smartphone. So it used to be we had real shuls. There was a decorum. There was a sanctity. Today we can't do that. We can't. You can't socialize in the street. The street is terrible. So where do we socialize today? In shul. A shul today is a social setting, which is a very good thing. But it comes with a price. And the price is that we don't treat our shuls with the sanctity that they deserve. Really, you should not be eating, not be talking, not making announcements, not looking at your smartphone. It's very hard to maintain such a high standard today in the world that we live in. So we make a tanai. A shul is a shtibul. It's a room. It's a room where we daven, we have respect for, but not the full dosage. So maybe you can argue, because we've downgraded the sanctity of the shul, maybe it's not so appropriate to put the luchos there and to put the lions there. Because if you put the lions and the luchos, you're saying this room, you're bringing the sanctity of what a shul really should be. And today we can't do that. We can't. No one's going to want to do that today. Because that's the way we live. A shul today is a club. And we daven, Baruch Hashem. But it's a very healthy thing in the way the hashkafa of this generation. You know, you socialize a little bit in shul also. Because where else are you going to socialize? We don't have go to the movie theater? No such thing. There's no kosher entertainment anymore. The only place you can have a kosher entertainment is in shul. So it's not a shul anymore. It's a theater. It's a theater. Maybe it's not so good. We should have the luchos and the lions. I'm just suggesting this. Hanach lohem li Yisrael. Otherwise, you got some big questions to ask. Tradition, everything about Yahadus is Mesoira. If it was good enough for our great-grandparents, they wouldn't imagine going into a shul not having the luchos on top of it. So what happened to us? We're so much smarter than them. We decided we have better designs. It's Mama Chapella. What happened to the luchos? I'm just giving you a suggestion of maybe why our shuls are not what their shuls were. It's a different.
The lions weren't into the
eagle? I'm sorry, what?
The lions weren't like an
eagle? An eagle, so that's the argument someone to make. Someone to make it's like loisas lepesel. Someone will argue that's the reason why it's not appropriate. But for so many generations, like I said before, there were many shuls that were built under the authority of Gedolei Yisrael, and they did not object. They had the lions and all the old shuls, and they had lions. If it was, and the Gedolei Yisrael didn't say boo, it was good for them. It's good for us. Look at the Magen David. All the Gedolei Yisrael daven in shuls of the Magen David. Where? Go show me a shul that is a Magen David. Go show me a shul of Magen David today. What?
On the menorah.
Yeah, right. What about the paroichas? What happened to the, even here in the Young Israel? Even here in the Young Israel, what happened to the Magen David on the paroichas? But of Aaron Kotler, they had a Magen David. They had a Magen David, and all the Gedolei Yisrael. What happened to the Magen David? Okay, so it is what it is. Okay, Rabbi Sai, have a wonderful day. Thank you for coming. Zay gesund. Oh, no, Chaimene Kasher. Let's go to Rachel Zakos. Yeshul Zichim Olam Torah Mitzvah. Shenemar. Adonai Chafetz Leman Tzidkoy Yagdil Torah V'Yadir.